Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5-18 Twins win, beat the Phil 6-2. A rubber game of the three-game series coming up tomorrow. Jose Berríos on the mound. Our sports coverage gets started early. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, Max, see at 9:30. At noon, Inside Twins at 12:30, the pregame. First pitch at 1:10. I'll be back with your calls and texts following the game, and we'll take a look back at the week that was for the Twins, two in Kansas City, and ultimately three in Philadelphia. Weather looks pretty good for the game tomorrow. A lot going on. Final four underway at U.S. Bank Stadium. Game one of Virginia and Auburn. Later, Texas Tech and Michigan State. Meanwhile, the Wild and the Timberwolves playing out the string right now. Let's get into the Timberwolves a little bit. Timberwolves continue to play hard and frankly are playing a very entertaining brand of ball against the Heat on Friday night. Dwayne Wade had a look. Wolves prevail.
Yeah, Dwayne Wade gets his send-off into retirement. Timberwolves win it by two. And they saw Dirk Nowitzki the other night in Dallas. His bon voyage into the next chapter of his life. Yeah, I mean, the Timberwolves are playing with house money. There's nothing at stake here. They can't make the playoffs. That's been well known now for over a week. It's all about just trying to finish with as many victories as you can. The pessimist would say, well, why do you want to do that? Don't you want to increase your chances to get Zion in the NBA lottery coming up? But right now they're 36-43, Stevie T, and they're the number 10 seed in the NBA Western Conference. And they play Oklahoma City tomorrow. That's a 2:35 game over at Target Center. And I'm imagining that's going to be rather festive inside the building because the Final Four will still, you know, be in play. So you have a lot of fans in town maybe checking out Target Center. You know, OKC has a ton of star power with Russell Westbrook and company. And you never know what celebs are going to be in the building tomorrow.
Well, and the Wolves' schedule couldn't have fallen any better the way it's scheduled around the Final Four festivities. I mean, the Wolves have to be thrilled considering they're out of it. They're not going to be a playoff team. It's been a season filled with disappointments, starting with the Jimmy Butler fiasco before the season even got started. Things went bad. They had to get rid of Tom Thibodeau. Ryan Saunders takes over as the interim head coach. One of the guys acquired in the Jimmy Butler trade, maybe the most promising of them all, Rob Covington, went down with an injury. He went through surgery recently. We learned quite a while ago that he wasn't going to return for the end of the 2018-2019 campaign. But for the Timberwolves late in the year to have the Final Four and games in town at Target Center, Miami Heat, Dwayne Wade is a draw. The Timberwolves certainly have a draw in Karl Anthony Towns. And they get a team with some star power, as you pointed out. I mean, it couldn't have worked out better attendance-wise for the Timberwolves.
Not at all. I mean, because if you don't have the Final Four here, these games don't have nearly the same pizzazz or fizz or sizzle. I wouldn't be shocked if Paul George or Russell Westbrook or Steven Adams or some of the members of the Thunder are over at U.S. Bank Stadium right now watching the Final Four. Perhaps Karl Anthony Towns and some of the T-Wolves players are there because there's only two NBA games on the schedule today. The association giving way to the Final Four.
Well, I think you got to give the NBA some credit because they've done a couple of things here. It looks like they're giving teams that are hosting these big events a little bit of publicity, a little bit of bump up with some of these home games. You remember last year during the Super Bowl, the Wolves had a Saturday night game the night before the game. You guys were over there doing the press for it. You were doing some stuff over Target Center. And I had to come down to help you out real quick just to bring you something. And I remember leaving. I said, you know, before I leave, I never have gotten a pin. Like, I like to collect pins. I've never gotten one from the Wolves or from Target Center, so let me go into the store and get one. And there were quite a few people from, you know, Philadelphia, from Boston, from that area that were in town for the game and they were buying jerseys, they were buying gear, they were buying all this different stuff because they were attending an NBA game. They had a chance to go see some other talent while they were in town for their specific purpose. So doing something like this where you can have games centered around a big event, it helps brand your team, it helps brand the league as in general. And I think it's a smart move. I think it's a smart move publicity-wise by the league, and it's very fortunate for the team that gets to host. Atlanta next year, Indianapolis, New Orleans, any of these teams that host these big events.
You're exactly right. And it's savvy marketing by the NBA because you get sucked into the vortex of a major crown jewel event like the Final Four. I was surprised when I was at the Super Bowl this year, the Atlanta Hawks did not have a home game. And that's the first time I've seen that in a Super Bowl city in a while, because a couple of years ago in Houston, the Rockets had one. In fact, they retired Yao Ming's jersey on Super Bowl Friday night. And what happens is the Timberwolves, and I'm sure Alex King and the media folks over there can attest to this, they're getting more requests for credentials from out-of-town media who they want to go see an NBA game. Let's face it, if you cover Auburn all the time or Virginia or Texas Tech, maybe you don't get to many NBA games. Those aren't NBA markets. So you come here, chance to see Dwayne Wade, Karl-Anthony Towns tomorrow, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. The other thing is, and you guys know this, sports fans in general have a bucket list, and they want to see as many stadiums and arenas as they possibly can. So if you're coming up here from Charlottesville or Lubbock or East Lansing or, you know, wherever.
Auburn is located
Alabama.
In Auburn.
Yeah. If you're coming up from one of those four places or that region, those regions, you might say, you know what, I'm going to catch a Timberwolves game. I can go see an NBA game at Target Center. I think fans like to do that.
Yeah, Twins opened at home to presumably make room for the Final Four. And you got to wonder if the Twins, you know, wouldn't want to be in town for similar reasons.
I was surprised they weren't. Because I think you miss a chance, again, to bring in fans who normally weren't going to be here and may never come back. And let's be blunt here. Ballparks tend to be more of a destination for fans than arenas, because ballparks are unique. They're different. Arenas, once you get inside, there's a lot of, you know, they're sterile, they're homogenous, they all tend to look alike. Target Field has a unique look. Target Field gets rave reviews in most of the ballpark things I read from around Major League Baseball. It's a top five, top 10 venue. So I think if the Twins were in town this weekend, they would have had a lot of out-of-town visitors. And the weather, you know, not bad. Better than it was last weekend. We're at 52 right now.
525 here at CCO. Big questions loom as we close in on the end of the regular season for the Minnesota Timberwolves. The end is near. By the way, the Wild end their season tonight in Dallas. We'll get into that in more detail coming up. But for the Timberwolves, interim head coach Ryan Saunders, how quickly will that interim tag be removed? There's a lot of people speculating. A lot of people think it's a done deal that at some point Ryan Saunders will be announced as the permanent head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I still feel like you need to figure out who's going to run the whole thing on the basketball side. Is Scott Layden going to stick around? Or are they going to move in another direction and bring in a general manager? I believe you want your general manager to have input. I am not a huge fan on saying to a potential new general manager, oh, by the way, we already have a coach and his name is Ryan Saunders. And this, I just think that's a tough spot to be in. I think you need to find the general manager. But all indications are that from what I hear and from what I see, I would be very surprised if they go in another direction from Ryan Saunders.
Well, and they do have to figure out the GM position, because Scott Layden, he is, you know, somebody who came in with Tom Thibodeau, who's now no longer with the organization. He's gone. And I think you're right. A new GM wants to come in and at least be comfortable with the head coach that he has and say, you know, I sign off on this guy, or I want to go in another direction. I would cast a wide net. I would at least see what kind of fish you could pull in that net and interview some people just to make sure you're not missing out on a potential gem or a nugget. Now, Glenn is clearly comfortable with Ryan. He certainly knows about his, you know, his past and growing up around Flip and all the basketball knowledge he has. But I don't know if you have to be in a huge hurry right away to make that decision. You don't know who might be on the market. Also, there could be some changes made here when that regular season ends. So that's my opinion. I would cast a wide net, make sure you Don't bypass anybody because it's a critical hire. You need to have stability at the head coaching position. Ryan Saunders is the 13th coach the Wolves have had in 30 years. By my math, that's almost a new coach every 2 years and some change. That's not good. You need stability.
And it's a critical time because Karl Anthony Towns, clearly one of the most dominant players in the NBA, need to build around now and win now. It's not 2 or 3 years down the road. It's time to get players around. Rob Covington should help. What other pieces are there that the Timberwolves can have going forward? Because let's face it, with Karl Anthony Towns anchoring your lineup, it's playoffs or bust, in my opinion, in the 2019-2020 season. And they got to get it done.
And the way today's association is constructed, the way it works, if you get a superstar who's on an island in a market, in a city where you're perpetually not making the playoffs, you have a losing history, all of a sudden that superstar is going to be courted, not only perhaps by other teams. He's not a free agent, but other players. I mean, there could be guys saying, hey, Kat, why do you want to waste away in Minnesota? It's the North Pole. You're not going anywhere. You need to come down and play here or here or here and win. We're seeing the thing play out in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. So, yes, the Timberwolves have to assemble the right pieces around Kat, or they're going to run the risk of him going the same way as Kevin Love and Kevin Garnett.
5:29, we got to run to a break. We have all the weather. We'll talk Wild. They end their season tonight in Dallas, and they didn't get anywhere near they wanted to be, which was the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll get into that in a moment. 5:35, coming up at 6, Wolves cast. John Folkey, a lot of cool Timberwolves features. Wolves at it tomorrow. They will take on Oklahoma City. The coverage begins at 2 o'clock. Up the dial on our sister station, the 104.1 Jack FM. The Wolves on Jack tomorrow afternoon, a matinee over at Target Center. Of course, we'll have the Twins and the Phillies with our coverage beginning at high noon with Inside Twins. Pregame 12:30, first pitch at 1:10. Jose Barrios on the mound. Twins beat the Phils today 6-2 to even that series at a game apiece. The Wild get to the end. They won't be a playoff team. And ultimately, the Wild just came up short in a lot of categories this year. They'll close it out in Dallas with the Stars tonight.
Yeah, it's been a huge disappointment. There's no way to sugarcoat it. The Wild right now, 83 points, and this will be it. They will leave Dallas, Texas, and scatter to wherever they go in the offseason. First time in 6 years, the Wild haven't been part of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And then it's evaluation time. It's assessment time for the owner, Craig Leopold. He's got to be very disappointed. And the new GM, Paul Fenton, head coach, Bruce Boudreau, he has said he wants to come back. I think that's pretty obvious. He's got a year left on the contract. Will he come back? I think that's in play. Paul Fenton did not hire Bruce Boudreau. I think most people think Boudreau will get another chance, but you never know, Stevie T, when you have that new boss and you don't make the postseason. And, you know, what can the Wild do? They will be in the NHL draft lottery, but their, you know, chances of getting the super phenom, Jack Hughes, the Zion Williamson on ice, so to speak. I mean, he's a mega prospect. He's been compared to Patrick Kane and Austin Matthews and guys like that. He's a U.S. kid. But their chances of getting him are about 2 or 3%. So,
but you're saying there's a chance.
I am saying there is a chance. Yeah. If they do get Jack Hughes, that would be unbelievable. But probably not going to happen. So what are they going to do? Who are they going to get? We know it's a hard ceiling league and floor well when it comes to the cap. You and I have talked about this ad nauseum. They've tied a ton of money up into Ryan Suter and Zach Parise with these long-term deals. So how can they get better?
Yeah, and they had some big injuries. You know, Mikko Koivu, the captain, went down with an injury in early February. I think the biggest injury of all that maybe doesn't get enough coverage, if you will, or enough credit, is Matt Dumba, a key guy on the blue line, a big guy on the power play, the big shot, you know, a rising star defenseman in this league. When he went down in the middle of December, that was a big blow to this team. Then you lose Koivu, and then, of course, we learn late in the season Zach Parise was banged up again in his career. Here's my concern going forward. The owner, And the new general manager, Paul Fenton, during the summertime said, our lineup needs a tweak. And when you're talking those teams that live in that 12 to 20 range, the middle class, if you will, of the NHL, whether you get in or get out, comes down to injuries. And as you can see with Dumba and Koivu, those are key injuries, and the Wild couldn't overcome it. So the Wild, you know, are right on that razor's edge. If everyone was healthy, maybe you have Dumba for the entire season, maybe you have Koivu for the entire season, maybe that's just enough to put the Wild over the top. But they're a borderline team. They're not a dominant team. They're not a great team. So when they said in the offseason is all this team needed a tweak, I hope too many people didn't believe that. Because even when those guys come back, even if they are able to make some off-season moves in a hard cap league, as you pointed out, what is the expected improvement? I think the Wild for the foreseeable future are sentenced to be in that middle group, you know, borderline. Key injuries, they may not get to the playoffs. If they stay healthy and play well, they could be a playoff team. But are they the team, the way they're built right now, can contend for a Stanley Cup? Sure doesn't look like it.
They're in hockey no man's land, and they need a break. They need lotto luck. They need some sort of a splash, I think, to get out of it. I really don't think they have a true superstar on the team, and you're not going to win any cups if you don't have some star power. I agree with you on Matt Dumba. I think at the time he led the NHL defenseman in goals scored when he got hurt, and that was a big loss. There's no doubt about it. But it's not a deep team. It's a team that even when they did go to the postseason the previous 6 years, they were either one and done or two and done. They never went on a long run. They ran into Chicago when the Blackhawks were winning cups, and they ran into Winnipeg last year. 2 years ago, it was St. Louis and Mike Yeo. So I think they are between that rock and a hard place, if you will, and they're going to have to do something creative. I don't know how many more trades they can make. Certainly Paul Fenton late in the year did. He got rid of Nino Niederreiter and some of the other guys.
Charlie Coyle was sent out.
Yep. You know, Ryan Donato has brought them some return, I think, on that deal with the Boston Bruins. But it's going to be a challenging offseason. And the Minnesota Wild just can't seem to get out of this rut. They've been on a treadmill now for a few years. This is a little different in the sense they're not even in the playoffs. So when you think about it, here we are in the Twin Cities, and we've got all the major sports. We don't have any of our winter teams, NHL or NBA, in the playoffs. That's kind of hard to do.
Another big picture item for the Wild, Devan Dubnyk, good goalie. When he came in, he helped save the Wild season a few years back. He's their number one guy. They've got Alex Stalock. But do they have the type of goaltending, the stand on your head, lights out, carry you in a playoff series or carry you in a postseason? Once again, Dubnyk, a good goalie, above average goalie by NHL standards. But is he an elite goaltender? That's a huge part of the equation as well. Can you get to the point where you feel like not only are you a playoff team, but a team that can get on a run and make a push for a Stanley Cup final with Devan Dubnyk and Alex Stalock? I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, I don't put Devan Dubnyk in that superstar category of goaltenders. The record this year, 31-28. Goals against average, 2.54. Alex Stalock's goals against average was just below 3. So that has to come down. And the other thing is they've got to figure out a way to get their swagger back on home ice in St. Paul. The XL Energy Center, once upon a time, that was a difficult venue to come into if you were an opposing team. It was tough to get points. And you look at the Wild this year at home, they have been really a train wreck. And their final home game the other night, a shutout loss to Boston, 3-0. They are 16-18-7 at home. The only worse teams in the NHL at home this year, the LA Kings and the Detroit Red Wings. Other than that, Minnesota has been the easiest place to travel to if you're a visiting team and come away with points. That has to change. Because if you're below 500, Stevie T, at home, I can almost guarantee you, you're not going anywhere.
For sure. So the Wild close it out against the Stars. They'll be in the playoffs. the Wild won't, and then it's on to the off season, and ultimately, what is the future of Bruce Boudreau as well? We can get into that momentarily, but first, Billy in Minneapolis. Billy, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, you guys. Two things. I wanted to bring up injuries. Has there ever been a city, you know, with our, you know, sports teams and whatnot, has there ever been a city that's had to endure more injuries than our city? I'm not raising a conspiracy thought here, but, I mean, it goes back to, like, even with Cott in 67 when he blew his elbow, we were almost a shoo-in to win that. That happens. I mean, every year we have something good with one of our teams. One of our key players goes down. Liriano in the mid-2000s blows his elbow up, another like a Cott injury. He was destined to be Cy Young, MVP, and Rookie of the Year. He was lights out. You know, just it just goes on and on. And another thing I was going to bring up on the TV side, I think Justin Morneau, aside from his monotone sounding voice, he's very, very informative. And I'll hang up and see what you guys have to say. Thanks.
All right, Billy, no doubt. I think Morneau, let's start there, is doing a really good job in the booth on the TV side with Dick Bramer here on the radio side. Corey Probus, Dan Gladden do an outstanding job. But, you know, Morneau's been good, and you're right, and that comes with time. I remember when I was getting started in the business many, many years ago. Eric, you could probably say the same thing. You grow into a style. It takes time. But what he brings to the table as far as knowledge and insight into the game is top-notch.
Yeah, for sure. And the good news for Justin is he's got a lot of time to focus on baseball because his Vancouver Canucks are not going to the playoffs either. I know he's a huge Canucks guy, and we used to joke about it when he was a player for the Twins. But, yeah, his insight clearly is good, you know, as far as, you know, monotone style, all that. There are things you can do to work on that and try to, you know, it's a delivery issue, I'm sure, is what the caller was alluding to. But, yeah, you have to find your own rhythm, your own style in this business.
And he'll get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it does.
It takes time.
It does. I think it's in anything you do in life. I remember as a young kid, I met Vin Scully at Wrigley Field once, and the first thing I said was, hey, you know, what do I need to do to get better? And he says, just be you. Nobody's more qualified to be you than you. And, you know, he was right. I mean, you can't try to be Vin Scully. You can't try to be, you know, Herb or any of these legends. You've just got to find your way. And you can take things from those guys. And I'm sure Justin will do that. You know, you can listen to Bert. You can listen, you know, Torrey did games for a while. You can listen to analysts that you respect and you know, find out things you like, put them in your own style, and then become your version of whatever you want it to be.
Yeah. And as far as injuries go, I think we're so much closer to it, you know, and key injuries at bad times. We brought up Dumba and Koivu. We brought up Rob Covington and how the Timberwolves got on a little bit of a roll. Covington was really leading them defensively. They had a little bit of grit with Rob Covington in that starting five for the Timberwolves. But the simple fact of the matter is, injuries are a part of sports. You can look at any franchise in any town, and injuries derail it. Look at the great run the New England Patriots have been on in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. Remember that year Tom Brady got banged up early?
In came Matt Cassel.
And?
Down went the Patriots.
Did they win the Super Bowl that year?
Not that year. I don't think they won it that year, no.
My point being is I think it is a theme anywhere where you're going to look at injuries and key injuries. They never come at a good time.
No, they don't. And durability is something that I think gets lost in the shuffle of ability and talent and the way we evaluate teams and athletes. But I'm a huge fan of the guys who are able to play night in, night out, day in, day out, no matter what the sport. And you're right about New England. You know, in this long run they've had, Tom Brady, with the exception of that one year he got hit, I think it was against Jonathan's Chiefs.
Opening weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs, Bernard Pollard.
Yes,
thank you very much.
J-Lo remembers it vividly. Other than that, Tom Brady's been upright and clean most of the time, and that's why he's been so unbelievable. You go back to the great teams Bud Grant had. What was their greatest trait? To me, durability. He knew every year those guys were going to show up and play. I mean, Jim Marshall led the way, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, and it was a different era. I think sensitivity to concussions and the concussion protocol has changed in sports to a certain extent. But you're absolutely right that, you know, I think when you look at these teams, let's face it, You have to have good fortune to get to a Final Four, to get to an NBA Finals, to get to a Stanley Cup Final, to get to the World Series, to get to the Super Bowl. Things have to fall your way. And unfortunately for the Wild, it was a tough year in the injury department with Dumba and Koivu going down. By the way, a first game of the Final Four at U.S. Bank Stadium is now at the half, and it is a good one. And I saw the score a moment ago. It looks like Auburn 31, Virginia 28.
That's correct, yes.
At the half of Game 1 coming up later on, Texas Tech and Michigan State at U.S. Bank Stadium.
Yeah. So you and I, after this show, will head over to USBS and catch part of the first game and the second game, Red Raiders and Spartans. And I just want to give a shout-out on the durability topic to Dirk Nowitzki, who is finally winding it down. 20 years in the NBA. That, to me, sums up talent and the ability to do it every day, every night.
Man, I bet he's sore, though, when he gets up in the morning.
It's incredible. He can probably barely get from the bed to the kitchen.
Woo, I bet it takes him a while to warm up. 11 minutes now in front of six here at CCO.
Sports Saturday, 52 degrees, overcast skies. Wind out of the southeast at 9. Stevie T, Eric with you. J-Lo on board. Final minutes until we hand it off to John Folkey and Wolves cast. Then it'll be Saturday night with Esme at 6:30. Minnesota Twins get a victory today in Philly against the potent Philadelphia Phillies. The Twins win it by a final count of 6-2. And Michael Pineda gets his first victory for Minnesota. He's 1-0 now, and the Twins rough up Jake Arrieta, who takes the loss. He's 1-1. Jake Arrieta was trying to win career game number 100, but Minnesota said not on our watch. Twins got three home runs. Williams Astudillo went deep in the ball game for Minnesota. Max Kepler and, of course, Eddie Rosario. Big three-run knock in the ninth inning to give them some cushion going into the bottom of the ninth. The teams will wrap up the series tomorrow in Philadelphia, and it's a chance for Minnesota to take two out of three, Stevie T, against a Phillies team that, like Minnesota, off to a 5-2 start. And a lot of people are saying, hey, Philadelphia could be in the playoffs and maybe even go to the World Series.
Oh, there's no doubt. They spent the money. You know, we all know about the drama surrounding Bryce Harper, and he finally – but they've made a lot of improvements to this team. There is no doubt they've spent the money in Philly, and the expectations are that they'll be a playoff team. Now, what happens when you get to the playoffs? You don't know. There's so many factors and so many intangibles when you get to the postseason. But absolutely, if the Twins can get a win tomorrow behind Jose Barrios, their ace, and I think it's fair to put that on his shoulders at this point in time. And I think Jose Barrios is ready to take that. You know, you get it done, you move on, you go into an off day in New York, you got a couple against the Mets, you're going to run into very good pitching there, and then you come home and get into division games, and you'll get right back into the division, and we can't discount how much those mean as well.
I'm glad you brought that up, and again, not to look past Philadelphia and the Mets, but they're going to face Detroit next weekend, and it's going to cool off. I just saw Saturday and Friday and Sunday that the forecast for Friday was a high of 40, low of 29, so it'll be bundle-up time out at Trendy Target Field. But the Tigers are off to a 6-3 start, so Ron Gardenhire, early on, has Detroit playing much better baseball than they did the last few years. The Tigers have won four straight. And I don't think you can underestimate the importance of taking care of business in the AL Central. We saw Minnesota do it 2 out of 3 against Cleveland last weekend. They won two straight in Kansas City before heading to Philly. So in the division so far this year, they are 4-1, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, for sure. 5 minutes now in front of six. Folkey and Wolves cast coming up at 6. Esme on a Saturday night at 6:30. We've got a busy sports day tomorrow here on CCO. Here's the lay of the land. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Maxie tomorrow between 9:30 and noon. They'll be loaded for bear. Tons of great guests, as always. At noon, Inside Twins get started. High noon at 12:30, our pregame show, Chris Atterbury, then Corey and Danny from Citizens Bank Ballpark in Philly for the final game of that three-game series. Jose Barrios will be on the mound in the rubber game. And then I'll be in following the game with reaction to the action, your calls and texts here on CCO. And we should point out Timberwolves and Thunder tomorrow at 104.1 Jack FM.
Before you continue on, actually there is an update to that. It's actually going to be 11 a.m. that Inside Twins is going to start, and then 11:30 pregame. It's going to be a noon, or basically 12:05 first pitch in Philadelphia. So the sports huddle will be from 9:30 to 11 tomorrow morning, and then 11 a.m. you'll have Inside Twins. So just an hour earlier than what you'd probably be used to on the weekend.
Yeah, so an abbreviated sports huddle tomorrow. How are they going to get it all in between 9:30 and 11? That's what I want to know. And then once again, you're right, Eastern time. Once again, Twins game starts at 12:10. Then I'll be in with a Sports Sunday here on CCO with, of course, Final Four coverage. By then, we'll know who the teams will be in the championship game on Monday night. Once again, Auburn leading number one seed Virginia 31-28 at the half. Coming up later on, Texas Tech and Michigan State, of course, Barty favored. And it is Big Ten country. And I would expect in the nightcap over there, Eric, for Michigan State to be a fan favorite because of the Big Ten connection.
It should help, although I have seen reports saying that a lot of Red Raider fans are coming up out of Texas into Minnesota. This is uncharted waters for Texas Tech. They've never been to the Final Four, and I love this matchup. Both these teams are physically tough. They live on defense, and they don't mind playing juniors and seniors.
Yeah.
How about that?
It should be a war in the nightcap down the street.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.